Hey Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, always fact-based, and sometimes even optimistically. The most common question I hear on my climate rounds is, what can I do? As anyone ponders that question, it's critical to understand where we are climate change-wise and where we're headed with our present practices. Most of us are not in a position to do scientific research, so we have to rely on others to tell us what the physical realities of the world are. I learned in my high school science class that the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. I believe that, but I only believe that because I've learned it from those who are in a position to do the experiments. So in asking, what can I do, I rely on trustworthy sources for facts, not some ideologue with an axe to grind and with no scientific credentials. And I'll just throw in here parenthetically that beliefs are just a whole lot different than facts. Just because someone believes something passionately does not make it factual or true. Part of my career involved how human behavior affects safety in a high-risk environment. One of the key problems is in people believing A while the reality is B. As an example, I'll offer an airplane accident that happened in Kentucky in 2006. The very experienced and capable crew took off on a runway to which they were not assigned and which was too short for them to get airborne. They crashed off the end of the runway, killing nearly everybody on board. My point is that this crew believed A, that they were on the correct runway, but B was true. A lot of what floats around the internet regarding climate change comes under the heading of A, purported to be true, but not. So, the importance of paying attention to trusted sources of information. One of those trusted sources of information is the International Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC. It's a UN agency that has representatives from 195 countries and literally hundreds of credentialed and dedicated scientists working and contributing without compensation so that we can, as laypersons, know what's happening in our climate. The IPCC's Working Group 3 released a report this 4th of April. The group assessed options for limiting heat-trapping emissions, evaluated methods for removing them from the atmosphere, and examined other means of slowing the warming trend, as well as related economic issues. So what does it say? Antonio Guterres, United Nations chief, summed it up this way, quoting here, "The latest IPCC report is a litany of broken climate promises. Some government and business leaders are saying one thing but doing another. They are lying. It is time to stop burning our planet." That's the end of the quote. The IPCC puts out reports, has been doing it since 1988. The reports are meant to provide strong scientific basis for nations and companies and individuals to know what to do about our changing climate. I have to say, in all of those years, while we haven't exactly ignored the reports, we haven't come anywhere close to doing what we have to do to keep the Earth from warming more than 1.5 degrees centigrade from pre-industrial era temperatures. Right now, we're at about 1.1 and continue to be headed warmer. It's actually an old tune at this point, and the reports, because we're doing so little, have talked about a shorter and shorter time to avert the worst of climate change. This report says that to avert the worst, fossil fuel emissions must peak by 2025. That's just 3 years from now. In the meantime, our federal government seems unable to do even the most basic steps to reduce our fossil fuel emissions. And those in our society opposed to doing things like free market libertarians, oil and other industries, poo-poo the danger and counsel us to just let nature take its course or not to worry, that things aren't really going to be that bad after all. These are all folks with an axe to grind, not trustworthy sources. And the fossil fuel industry has started focusing on the costs, air quotes there, to consumers of climate action, ignoring the far greater and irreversible costs of non-action. The accounting firm Deloitte put the cost of climate inaction to the U.S. economy at $14.5 trillion over the next 50 years, and major research institutions are finding that capital expenditures on climate mitigation and adaptation measures will yield long-lasting returns across all sectors of the economy, and seeing those quotes, air quotes again, rather as investments. Yet the fossil fuel industry does what it can to delay, delay, delay. And if that isn't enough, the cash cow oil companies are getting $20 billion in subsidies from U.S. taxpayers every year. That's a conservative estimate from Oil Change International, where they say the oil industry is getting $14.7 billion a year in federal subsidies and $5.8 billion in state-level subsidies as well. So we seem stuck. That's not to say that there are no developments on the horizon that are positive. There are. Some countries, smaller countries, are operating at net zero carbon emissions, showing it can be done. The cost of wind and solar has declined precipitously and is now cheaper than a lot of fossil fuels, especially when considering new facilities. But the canary in the coal mine is greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, primarily carbon dioxide and methane. And both of those measures keep increasing year after year. The concentration of those gases is more each year than it was the year before. And there are problems with the environmental movement itself. Key amongst those is whether we should be developing nuclear energy capability. The science is clear that every time we take a nuclear power plant offline, the deficit in electric energy is made up with fossil fuels. It's also clear that modern nuclear power can be provided safely and reliably, yet nuclear energy remains unpopular in the United States. Of course, that points out how important opinion is, so that means your opinion is important also. I'll add that it's paramount that since our opinions are important, that those opinions be soundly based. So once again, what to do? I think one of the critically important things that we can all do if we want to turn this ship around, if we want to change course before we hit the iceberg, is to work to get climate-aware politicians elected at every level. There are lots of ways that we as citizens in Washington State can work to influence the outcome of elections in states other than Washington, or in areas other than where we live here in Tacoma and Pierce County. We are blessed in our own area to have politicians who, for the most part, are largely aware of and responsive to the dangers proposed by runaway fossil fuel emissions. But we don't have to just take some satisfaction in that. We can work to affect election outcomes elsewhere in the United States. There are a lot of organizations that do this. The Environmental Voter Project is one of my favorites, but Greenpeace and Common Cause and others also have outreach efforts to improve turnout and to encourage folks concerned about the environment to vote. So do an internet search and put your shoulder to the task. So that's it for today. You can contact me with suggestions for future programs or with comments on this or any other climate talk. Email me at John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org. CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist there. It's a good outfit with a lot of good people. Check it out. You might find something of value to you. In any case, join with like-minded folks and raise your voice in creating a livable future. By the way, I got a note from a listener that I missed the mark a bit earlier in a program, not giving traditional electric stoves credit for being energy efficient compared to electric induction stoves. Used properly, this listener pointed out, most importantly, using pots and pans that cover the entire burner, traditional electric stoves are very efficient, and in our area with hydropower, they are fossil-free. So if you have that kind of traditional electric stove, feel good about using it. If you're ready to junk your old gas stove, take a look at electric induction as the stove of a clean energy future. This program, like all locally produced programs at KTH, is available on the KTAH website. Just do an internet search for the station, look for the archives under programming, and you'll find it right there. So thanks for being with me today, and here I am reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.